Hello and welcome to the No BS Approach to Motherhood podcast, hosted by Catherine Hay and Shelley McKenzie. We are both mothers and clinical nutritionists who specialize in women's health. We are here to not only bring you the most up-to-date nutritional and health advice when it comes to fertility, pregnancy, postpartum, and children's nutrition, but our main goal is to break through the BS that can come with motherhood. No topic is off limits, so grab a cuppa or a glass of wine and join us for another raw and real conversation surrounding motherhood.
This week's episode is sponsored by Esme. With a Be Kind to Your Microbiome skincare philosophy, Esme offers premium Australian-made products designed to strengthen your delicate skin concerns. Clean and innovative formulas combine natural and active ingredients to feed your skin to deliver results.
Esme Skin Minerals just won all-time favorite beauty brand in the Mamma Mia U Beauty Awards 2024, among many other awards. The Uncomplicated Cleanser, a gentle cream cleanser that thoroughly cleans the skin whilst maintaining balance and will not strip the skin of its natural oils. Hydrating hyaluronic serum, like a big drink of water for your skin, the serum is fast absorbing and fast working to increase hydration in the skin by 25% within 2 hours. Promotes hydrating and skin healing, a perfect serum for all skin types.
Esme is the ultimate one-stop shop for healthy, radiant skin. With such a wide range of products, there is literally something for every skin type and concern. If you need something specific for your unique concerns, you can always chat to the skin team for a personal recommendation through the website.
We have a unique special offering for the podcast listeners. Use code ESME20 for a huge 20% off store-wide for a limited time.
We're here for another episode.
We are. We're back. And why don't we just start this episode off with how your toddlers, how's your night?
Yeah, so we've just come off the back of a little mild gastro bug. So to really quickly have a little poo talk with you. On Saturday, Van woke up with very explosive diarrhea, smashed them with, the SB and all the supplements for gastro, and went away. Next day, poo normal. We were like, great, hasn't spread through. And then on, what night was it? Monday night, Audrey and Lenny. So Lenny woke up, he fell asleep on the couch before having dinner, which is very unusual for Lenny to miss a meal. And we normally know that sickness is coming. And at about 8:30, he vomited in his bed, and then again like at midnight, and then Audrey at like 5 a.m. So that was Monday night. But they were like pretty good yesterday. But we just had a rough night last night, just a few wakes, only 5 minutes with them, but it takes me another hour to get to sleep after. I actually really need to get some NeuroCalm sleep because I take that in the wee hours of the morning when I'm struggling to go back to sleep, and I find it so effective, and I'd already taken my upper limit of passion spell.
I'm just a little bit over. I'm sure you'd be right.
Yeah, but it's that laying there, just awake and a little bit wired. So that was my night. A little bit brain dead today, but nothing I can't handle. I was saying to you, our morning, which we're talking about this morning, is those morning routines. It was a bit of a shit show this morning. Lenny, last year, if you listened to some of our episodes, you may remember we were struggling quite a bit with his moods and emotional kind of state. And we haven't experienced that again since Christmas, but this morning he woke up and he was just so dysregulated, like he couldn't control his emotions. They were up at 5:30, the boys, which is very unlike them. They normally sleep till at least 6:30. But that extra hour, what a difference it makes. Lenny just was honestly just screaming the house down for a good 2 hours this morning, just couldn't, didn't know what he wanted, just could not control himself. And Van and I were trying to help him, but it was just setting him off even more. So that was kind of our morning.
It's a lot, when you've got dysregulated toddlers and you haven't slept. So then your cortisol's already through the roof, which is our stress hormone. And then it's like this perpetual cycle of the tone or how your body's kind of feeling, I guess, for the rest of the day as well. So how are you feeling on the back end of that?
I'm actually feeling all right. This week, I've had the kids at home with me the last 2 days. And I said to Macca, I hopped into bed last night and I said to him, this has been the best week And he said, it's Tuesday. And I said, but I honestly can't remember the last time I had two consecutive home days with the kids, and they have just been calm and thoroughly enjoyable. And even on Monday night, I went to bed and we just had the best day. And I went to bed and I thought, you know, oh, in the night when they were waking up and I cancelled the gym and cancelled our plans for yesterday, Tuesday. And I thought, oh, great, 2 days at home in a row. Like, it's never a great situation, like one day. But then if we push it to 2 days, normally it's a bit of a shit show. But again, it got to the end of last night and we just had the best day. Like, I'd had the best day with the kids. And what that came down to was Van. I've never thought Van kind of dictates the mood in our house, and I don't like to think that. And to be honest, I've thought that Lenny kind of does more, because his tantrums can go from like 1 to 100 and take a really long time to settle down, Lenny. But Van has just been in the most helpful, calm, just the way he's been towards Lenny and Audrey and me has just been different this week. And so we have had the best days. So even this morning, normally that would be really chaotic, because sometimes Van can level up to Lenny and then you throw Audrey in the mix, just being, you know, a baby kind of little toddler, but, you know, younger. But this morning, Van didn't level up. So I didn't have two kids screaming at me, for starters. Right. And I actually had Van like, Lenny, what can I do to help you? Like, he was literally saying that to Lenny, and Lenny's like, I want my bunny, and like screaming things. And Van would be like, I'll get you a bunny, or here, take this toy. Or so it was actually, I actually feel okay. I'm tired as shit. But in terms of like stress this morning, it was okay.
So nice that Van's obviously acknowledged how distressed Lenny is and wants to help his little brother. And I think it's interesting. So how old's Van now? What, 4.5?
Van's 4.5, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You feel like anything was particularly different over the last 2 days with him, that he was just a little bit more in control of his emotions? In control's wrong word, but you know what I mean.
No, yeah. Yeah. I've been calmer.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Last week wasn't awesome. Like, again, we might have had like a few snippets, a few windows, but yeah, it wasn't a great week. But I came into this week knowing that I had to be calmer with Van. Yes. And I came into this week knowing that I couldn't get triggered by Van.
Yes. Yeah.
And like, I needed to work on that. When I needed space, I needed to take myself away. And like, I've actively been doing that. Like, boys, I just need some space right now. And I've been taking myself away. And so I have been so much calmer, because if Van like hits his siblings, I'm like, Van, why are you doing that? Like, and if it's, you know, a couple of times in the morning, whatever, but if for 12 hours straight, he's just being like, Van's my rough kid, right? And so if he's just hit his siblings all day long, I am by the end of the day just so tapped out by that, and I'll get angry. But this week I was like, no, you need to stay calm. And so I've stayed calm.
Yeah.
And it's made a huge difference.
Isn't it interesting? And I know we have pre-recorded an episode about this toilet training thing, because I had a really similar experience with Sunny just the last couple of days. So I took her to a chiro on Monday just to see if there was anything going on with her emotions, with her wetting her pants, and this whole regression in her toilet training. Anyway, my gut, mama instinct, 100% feel there's nothing structural, nothing going on with her actual bladder infection, worms, all the rest of it. I feel like it's an emotional thing. Anyway, took her to the chiro. It was really interesting. He was like, you know, he was like pressing on different areas of the spine. She's like, oh, that feels fluffy. And we could see like she meant that feels like tension. And when he was pressing, she'd kind of squirm a little bit, and they were all linked to her bladder, the nerve system linked to her bladder. Anyway, she had a little bit of adjustment and just a clicky tool like up her spine and a few things. And one leg was longer than the other. And then we changed that. So after the session, both legs were aligned. That night, that day when we got home, she slept 4 hours. And she was so calm and regulated, and it's such a dream to be around that afternoon. I had the best afternoon with her. And then she kept saying, the doctor's fixed my bum, because we were like, we're going there just to see if he can help with you, you know, you weeing in your pants. So we just see. And she's like, the doctor's fixed my bum. I'm a big girl now. I'm going to throw Lily in the bin. Now, for anyone following along at home, Sunny's had these two dolls.
They're disgusting. They are disgusting. We'll post a picture. They're so gross.
The original doll was Ruby. And anyone who's been following along with me for a long time, you will have seen Ruby appear on my Instagram stories. Dreadlocks, hair pulled out, disgusting.
Ruby is not well.
No. And Sunny, about, oh gosh, maybe 2 months ago, said it's time for Ruby to go in the bin. So she went and put Ruby in the bin, and Nick and I were just shocked. We're like, oh my goodness, what is going on? But we always knew she had the backup of Lily. So Ruby went, we couldn't believe it. That was that. Anyway, so on Monday, when she's like, the doctor's fixed my bum, she goes, it's time for Lily to go in the bin. And it's like she stepped up into this like big girl. She said to Nick, my husband, okay, Daddy, it's time to put Lily in the bin. So again, I was just shocked. I should have filmed it. I can't believe I don't have this on film. But we took her outside. We put her in the recycle bin in like a box just in case we needed to retrieve her.
Yeah.
She put her in the bin, went to bed for the first time since she was probably, gosh, 8 months old without one of these dolls. Like it's been, because she loves the hair. She does something weird with the hair and wraps it around her finger and sucks her thumb. And she's done it ever since the baby.
Yeah. Hence why they've got no hair.
Exactly. So she just, that was her first night without Lily. And then she came, went to daycare yesterday. She, again, really regulated, really calm. Nick picked her up from daycare, said she had an amazing day. She did come home with two changes of clothes that had water play, so we can't distinguish if she had any accidents or not. We go back to the chiro tonight just to see if the adjustment, and I use that in air quotes because it was just a clicky machine, has stuck. And we'll see how she goes at daycare today. But she, it's just the change in her whole demeanor. Even when I wake her up, like I woke her up early today because, you know, we were podcasting. She wasn't fazed. Normally she'd be like, you know, whoever wakes me up early is going to pay for this. And I wasn't on the receiving end of that. So I was just really interested just seeing how much the emotional change from, like, she was a pretty dysregulated last week. I had a bit of a run-in, like a few run-ins with her last week, just seeing that change too. So even if we, if this doesn't help the regression with the toilet training, that it, like, it is what it is. But just seeing her behavior and her change and just kind of step into wanting to be a big girl now, because I feel like she wanted to go back to being a baby a little bit. Yeah, it's huge. It's massive.
It's amazing, isn't it? And when we think about a chiropractor, and as you say, chiropractic for children, and we should actually get a chiro on, but it's manipulation. So they either use a clicker or they just kind of do like pressure points. So if you can imagine acupuncture using pressure points like that for children. And it is fabulous. So if you've got a newborn not sleeping or a newborn that's struggling with constipation or anything like that, fabulous. Like I'd always take my kids, they'd come home, they'd do the biggest poos and then sleep like a baby should. And, you know, in this, like if we think about the chiropractor, it's working on the nervous system. And our nervous system is what regulates our stress and, you know, our calm response and all that kind of stuff. So isn't that incredible?
Yeah. So thought I'd share that. Watch this space.
Okay, so Cappy, you have implemented some new morning routines and you're noticing a big difference, and I want to hear all about them and just chat to us, yeah, about what you're doing, what changes have you noticed. I'm obviously just following you, and so let's do it. Let's chat about the morning routine and what have you.
Yeah, I thought this would be a really good episode just because we have routines for our babies, but we never put routines in place for us to support us. And I think that's really important when we're trying to get through our days, the motherhood load, work, relationships, all the rest of it. We want to be as thriving as we possibly can throughout the day. So anyway, I've been pretty vocal on social media since the start of the year that peace is my priority this year. That's what I need. I don't want to be burnt out and I don't want to be running off adrenaline and cortisol, which are our stress hormones. So I had implemented some changes. I posted a reel about this the other day, but I have always been a coffee on an empty stomach kind of gal. So as long as I can remember, that's just what I did. I'd wake up, I'd have a coffee on an empty stomach, and that's what I did. Anyway, I also was falling into habits that I weren't conducive of supporting my emotional well-being throughout the day, with going to bed, scrolling social media, and first thing is when I wake up, scrolling social media. That impacts me drastically. I will have a terrible night's sleep, or I just feel restless. And again, it just promotes that stress response. So I've been ditching coffee on an empty stomach for quite some time now. And then we've also been implementing some changes in Nick and I. So one of these changes, a lot of these changes have stemmed from being a little bit more organized to set myself up for a day where I can feel the most relaxed in the morning. So I wake up early. I try and wake up before sunny because that's my time. That's my time of peace. So I wake up early, and I have made the night before something easy, something that doesn't require a lot of thought that I can quickly eat when I first wake up. Now, I'm not hungry when I first wake up. However, I still really enjoy my early morning coffee. So what I've been doing is having a chia pudding in the morning that I've made the night before with, say, collagen, some protein powder, really basic. But I eat that as soon as I wake up. And it's probably only about 4 or 5, you know, tablespoons that I get through. And I have that whilst I'm making my coffee. I then grab my coffee. I go back to bed and drink my coffee in bed because that is my time of peace. And that's what makes me really happy. Now, I also have made the bed a no phone zone. So the only time I can use my phone, or I'm using my phone now, is for my alarm to go off. But I want to wake up with my normal cortisol response. So basically in the morning, we want the sunlight to be our first light that enters our nervous system, because that supports melatonin, that supports cortisol. Our adrenals secrete cortisol basically in responses from signals to the brain, right? So if you get your phone first thing in the morning and you see that fake light behind a screen, or something's on social media, you're triggering like a cortisol response that can be heightened quite quickly or increased quite quickly. So we ideally would love to wake up and look out the window. It can be that basic, looking out your window for that early morning sunlight. So that's why I've said the beds are a no phone zone. And that applies to going to bed as well. So I set my alarm the night before and I read my book, and that's it. Sometimes it's easier said than done, but it's these small little changes that can make the biggest impact. So I'm still having my early morning coffee, and then I get up, do the routine with Sunny and all the rest of it. But then I just feel so calm. And it wasn't until I made that drastic change with no phones in bed, obviously eating before a coffee, that what I thought my normal was beforehand to what it is now is drastically changed. I didn't think I was living in a low level of potentially generalized, maybe even anxiety, definitely not diagnosed, but I will diagnose myself here. Even driving to daycare, I was like, oh, everything's just calm. Like, I feel really relaxed and grounded. And I really notice how that progresses throughout the day. So work seems just easier. Everything just seems a little bit easier. My resilience with Sunny, you know, if she has been dysregulated and things like that, I'm much calmer and much more tolerant of, you know, her different changes in behavior throughout the day. And I'm also sleeping so much better. And what's interesting, last night I was working on Honest Health Co. I was working on Captured Nutrition, and I'd done a couple of posts. I was checking Instagram and I had a terrible night's sleep because I was on my phone beforehand, and I was up at 3 a.m. And usually when we're waking up at 3 a.m., it's because your cortisol is high before bed. You can have trouble falling asleep, obviously, but if your cortisol does not stay low overnight, your cortisol generally will start to spike somewhere in the middle of the night or around that 3 a.m. So people who wake up at like 3 a.m. constantly, it's because your nervous system is dysregulated and your cortisol levels have not decreased overnight, where they stay nice and low, they keep us in a nice restful sleep. Sorry, I'm verbal diarrhea-ing here. You can tell I'm passionate. but then they obviously spike in the morning, and that's normal. We want to get out of bed. Cortisol helps us achieve our goals for the day, but it's when it becomes dysregulated or we see that huge spike in cortisol, which probably isn't necessary in the morning, which can lead to other patterns, which Shelby can go into as well. But anyway, that's just some little things that I'm doing, and I've just noticed monumental changes in my emotional well-being.
Yeah, it's so interesting listening to this because you, prior to doing coffee, you used to do coffee on an empty stomach. It was your, you know, happy time taking your coffee to bed before Sunny woke up. You never experienced the symptoms that we often hear about, like the racing heartbeat, the, you know, sweatiness, that anxiety. You never experienced those symptoms having coffee on an empty stomach, did you?
No, never. And that's why I thought coffee never affected me like that. And it wasn't until I switched that up where I was like, ah.
So I'm the same. I don't have any symptoms. So I often have a coffee on an empty stomach like I did this morning. But I was saying to you, one thing I've noticed doing that, if I have a coffee when I'm in my morning routine with the kids, it's not from a mindful place. Like coffee for me is such a hug for the soul, as it is like for you and many of our listeners. And so I'm always having a second coffee later in the morning because that's my peace. I go sit out on our front deck. I sit in the sun. I enjoy that coffee and that's like my time. And so if I've had a coffee first thing in the morning in the chaos of our morning, you know, even if it is a calm morning, like as I said to you this morning, I like went up to Audrey and got her awake, came home downstairs, had like two sips of coffee. Then I was getting van dressed, two sips of coffee. Then I was getting lit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not in that moment at all. So then I go for a second. But that's really interesting. The other question I have on that, because I too don't feel like I experience any symptoms having coffee on an empty stomach, so therefore I do no worries. However, I do wake in the morning with no appetite, as most do. What are you eating in the morning? Like, what is it that you're having for breakfast? And can you kind of run us through quantities? Because this is something that I am definitely going to try as of tomorrow morning.
Yeah. And this is the thing. So naturally, as our cortisol starts to rise in the morning, our appetite will kick in about 60 to 90 minutes within waking. So when I'm eating this meal, I'm not hungry at all. So I am, I guess, forcing myself to eat, but it's purely so I can keep that ritual of that, that hug for me, which is my coffee in bed before Sunny wakes up. So I don't know if this is necessarily, you know, I'm always about listen to your body. If you can have breakfast within 60 to 90 minutes of waking, I think that is also really beneficial because your cortisol and your appetite naturally, I guess, I've woken up, use that in air quotes, by that time. But this is what's working for me and I'm happy to share my own personal experience. So I have a chia pudding. So it's about 2 tablespoons of chia. I have a tablespoon of vanilla collagen. And I also have a tablespoon of vanilla protein powder in there. I also have 1 tablespoon of flaxseed meal, bit of coconut yogurt. This week I'm feeling fancy and brought some coconut kefir. So I'm soaking it all in coconut kefir. Usually I just soak it in water, mix it all together, done. I don't do anything else but that. So I've got fats, proteins, and fiber in there. And it makes a small bowl. So I'm eating that when I wake up. So I think roughly it's about 4 or 5 tablespoons I'm eating before my coffee. Then I make my coffee with collagen and medicinal mushrooms. And I know you love a good pimped up coffee as well. So then it's easy for me to do. And then I make my coffee. I go to bed. I sit down in my bed and drink my coffee. So having that just after that meal has just been unbelievably incredible for my emotional well-being and just my resilience throughout the day and not living in that fight or flight, which I didn't realize I was in until, I stopped that. And now I know what my baseline is.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. I am going to do it. I'm going to get prepared, get organized, make a nice tea pudding this afternoon, have it in my fridge.
What I wanted to also say is like the thing with cortisol, it suppresses melatonin during the day, right? Because we don't want to be asleep at night. So they work oppositely each other. So then when melatonin suppresses cortisol levels in the evening, so we can fall asleep. But if you look at the reverse of that, and so many people are going to bed either watching TV, on their phones, they're not, they're exposed to that blue light. I think it's blue light, or is it red light? That blue light from the screens, which again initiates cortisol production. You can see how that melatonin cortisol link has is impacted, and that's when your HPA axis dysfunction kicks in. So that's your hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, and that's basically your brain communicating to your adrenals. So that's why we're always like, if you're not sleeping at night, it's 100% because your cortisol, melatonin is not firing properly. So it's a stress response. It is always a stress response. Yeah.
And last week we did post an episode, we recorded an episode, released an episode called The Silent or Not So Silent Stress Response. So if you haven't listened to that, also head across and listen to that. But yeah, it's really interesting. I definitely have noticed I've been trying to get off social media. So we've also created a no phone zone. I got that from you. And so for the last 2 weeks, we haven't been taking our phones to bed either. I don't wake to an alarm like normally my kids are awaking me. So I don't put it in my room. We've been doing that, but I've been trying to put my phone away at 7:30 because our kids are all in bed by 7. And so I've been trying to put my phone away at 7:30 because I actually notice I dream about people on social media. I don't even know them, but I follow them and I will dream about them. And I'm like, I literally don't even know you, but I feel like I'm actively awake as well. Isn't it incredible, like the impacts of social media?
That's it. And you don't want to be dreaming about some random. You want a really nice, restful sleep.
Exactly. But if I'm on my phone leading into bedtime, that is honestly one of the biggest things I noticed. I'm like, oh, I'm dreaming about social media. So that was like a really key thing that I needed to get off. And I wouldn't have thought I had that much time on social media prior. But when the kids go to bed, I would kind of like aimlessly scroll while I'm waiting for Macca to sit down with me. And then, you know, we'd watch a show or whatever. And often I'd still be like randomly scrolling. And so now I'm like, no, this is mine and Macca's time. Put your phone away. But I physically have to leave my phone in a cupboard. And so that's what I do. And I haven't been taking it to bed either. The other thing in terms of morning routines, I actually used to be, prior to kids, I just had this like epic morning routine. Obviously, since having kids, that's just gone out the window. And it still kind of is. I feel like I was saying this in our catch up, we're kind of coming into that new phase of parenting, I feel, where our kids are kind of getting just to that different age now. And Audrey and what have you do sleep, but we still have the odd wakes overnight or the, you know, the early wake ups. So I do find it hard to get my routine going. However, one thing that I used to do and I've started implementing again, and this was more so it held off my morning coffee, and that's coconut oil pulley. Have you ever done that?
I used to do a pretty sunny a long time ago, but then got bored of it and didn't do it.
Yeah, I do it in the morning and I'm actually really enjoying it. So Macca gets up at 4:30 and goes to the gym. And when he gets home is normally when I wake up to take Kevin over, our dog, to the park. And so I take Kev over. I try to go barefoot. If one of the kids are awake with me, they come over and we go barefoot over the park to take Kev for a poo because we're in a city, small backyards. And then I come back and when I'm making them their breakfast, I do coconut oil pulling. So I do that mainly because it does have some benefits to teeth whitening. And, you know, Cappy, when I was in Bali last year, Macca and I booked into a dentist that was recommended to us and we got our teeth whitened and we got the trays and what have you. And so that's why I drink my coffee out of a straw, which I always get asked on social media, why am I drinking my coffee out of a straw? That is why, to preserve my teeth whitening. But coconut oil pulling is also really amazing at reducing inflammation of the gums and improving gum health as well. And so that's just been a really nice little morning routine that I do just when I'm up and hopefully by myself, just making the kids their breakfast, waiting for them to come down the stairs. Do a little bit of oil pulling. And then I have my lemon water in a big glass jar, 1 liter. I drink that out of a straw as well to protect my teeth enamel. And I've been doing that for years, a warm lemon water. And for anyone who struggles to hit their water intake for the day, I always say try to get as much water as you can in that first waking like window, in that first hour or two, because you're coming off the back of a fast and being dehydrated. So it's very easy to get a nice amount of water in. So I easily drink a liter of water within half an hour of waking every morning. I'm just used to it. I crave it. And then I have my coffee. So that's kind of the only routines I have in the morning.
But do you know, coming back to that reel I did about morning routines, and I learned this from you actually, is putting an outfit on. You know, that is, I was so in the habit of throwing on yesterday's gym clothes or staying in my active wear and like the mum uniform, whatever. And you have always said, no, I'm not doing that. That is for exercise. I always put an outfit together because it makes you feel good, right? And I'm obsessed with fashion. Like, it's my side passion. I know you are too. Like, I love all things fashion. So I made a conscious effort for a while now to put an outfit together when I can because it makes me feel good. It supports mental health. I just feel better throughout the day. And I'm like, if I put myself together, love what I'm wearing, that also generates that just, I think, positive outlook for the day also. Because I'm like, I don't know, I've got a dress on, I've got shoes on, I've got a bit of makeup on or whatever that looks like, where I feel good.
Absolutely. It is so essential to wear what makes you feel good. And that whole, I see it all the time, falling into the trap of active wear. And it's funny because like active wear is now fashion within itself. And some people genuinely do feel good in their active wear. I do not. I feel uncomfortable. It presses in all the spots I don't want it pressing. Like, as in, if I've got it up around my tummy all day, that tight, like, that does not make me feel comfortable, you know? And so I always, like, even yesterday afternoon, because we'd had that little gastro bug, and yesterday afternoon, I still got up, got dressed and put on a face. And my mum rang me and she goes, "You're looking good for being up all night." And it was just because I put on makeup because I wanted to feel good. We were just at home all day, but I will still always be in clothes even when I'm at home all day. It's very rare you'll find me in active wear. But last night I looked in my wardrobe, picked out an outfit for today, had it all lined up, ready to go. Because I just, yeah, you do. You just feel better when you've gotten up and you're wearing something instead of just slopping around the house in like loungewear.
That's it. And I've really noticed a huge shift. I mean, the outfit I styled on that reel was runners, socks, bike shorts, but a really nice shirt. You know what I mean? And it's like, yes, there was a component of that being like fashionable active wear, but it was this shirt and the socks that had a little bit of a frill because, you know, I'm into different kinds of socks that really, for me, brought that outfit together. And I was like, I'm not just wearing my active wear and I felt comfortable. But it's like you were saying, you don't want to wear these tight pants up around or, you know, your bike shorts or whatever they are all day. And just side note here, no wonder there are so many women complaining of bloating is because they're wearing pants all day that literally...
Every day
that are too tight around their central abdomen. That will give you bloating 100%. So maybe just switch that up if that is you. But it's throwing on that outfit. I mean, I'm a bit of a hypocrite right now. I'm literally sitting here in a age athletica, so at least it's a little bit trendy, t-shirt and bike shorts. However, I haven't started my day yet. You know, I'm just doing podcasting and then I'll be in clinic this afternoon. So then I'll go and put an outfit on. So for me, I did go for a walk this morning. So then I'll put my outfit on and I haven't had time to shower. I just haven't had time. So that's the thing. But, you know, it's just having that conscious thoughts about, no, I want to put an outfit together, or like tonight I'm going to be out with Nick and I know that I want to look good because we'll probably be out for dinner with Sunny, you know. And it's just those things where I think also make a big impact on your emotional well-being throughout the day, and you can make that part of your morning routine as well.
Absolutely. And one thing on that is, and I shared this on Instagram, I finally found consistency in my workouts, and it's purely because every day I have the intention to exercise 7 days a week. And obviously I'm not exercising 7 days a week because life gets in the way. But if I have the intention and have a rough kind of time in my mind that I'm going to exercise, whether that be at nighttime and I need to Macca to be across that time so that he's home, or if it's during the day, like I've got it in my head planned. And if something happens, like yesterday I had to cancel, the kids had gastro, I wasn't going to take them to the gym crèche. So that's a day gone this week, and that's okay, you know. But I will say, because I'm kind of like training at very sporadic times but aiming to train every day, there is some days where I've woken up and I'm like, oh no, I'm going to be going to the gym at 10, or I'm going to be going to the gym at 1. So I have just put my active wear on to make life easier. Today, for example, is going to be one of those days. However, then I've stayed in my active wear all day and I have not felt good. I've not felt good in myself. And so, and as I said, it comes down to me feeling uncomfortable. And again, as you said, fashion is it is an outlet for us. And so I just haven't felt like myself in that active wear. So even today, I'm going to the gym after podcasting before clinic. However, I'm still in normal clothes because I'll just quickly get changed, have a shower and get changed again. Like it's not that big of a deal. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I feel like putting an outfit together is such an expression of your personality, right? And it's just about, like you said, you don't feel good if you're in the active wear all day. I just feel a bit like, at right now, I feel a bit slothy. Like I feel like I need to be, when I'm on and I have an outfit, I'm like, okay, I just feel clearer and I feel like I can get my shit done. It's really interesting. When I'm in my active wear, I'm like, no, well, that's me wanting to go and exercise. But then when I'm done my exercise, I actually feel unmotivated in it.
Exactly. You look fabulous, by the way. But the other part of it is, like, as mums, we really do need to find ways to express ourselves or ways for us to feel like us.
Yeah.
And I just don't feel like activewear does it for us, because we're often rotating the same activewear. Like if I think about my activewear, that's not like what you've just explained, like a shirt with bike shorts, like that's a separate kind of, like I've got separate bike shorts and stuff that I wear over shirts and what have you. But then I've got my activewear. I've probably got 3 pairs of leggings that I just rotate in the gym. I've got a couple of sports bras I rotate, a couple of tops I rotate. I wear them every other day to the gym. You know what I mean? So it's like I'm wearing the same things week in, week out to the gym because I don't have a whole closet of gym clothes. I just don't need them. And most people are going to be the same. So I think as mums, it's really important to find your outlet, like some kind of, you know, creative outlet or something that just makes you feel like you again. And that for me is my clothes, and for you.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. I don't feel like a mum when I'm wearing an awesome outfit. I don't am a mum
either.
I don't feel like I'm in that mum mentality. Right. Yeah, it's really interesting. I'm like, this is who I am. This is fun Catherine. This is lighthearted Catherine. This is, you know, or I might put, like, I bought this really, a little black dress the other day and I've already planned the outfit. I want to do like socks and these little loafers and I've got a bag. And I'm like, that's like classic business Catherine who's going to Singapore to eat at this incredible degustation restaurant, you know?
Hey, girl. Yeah,
it's
you
like,
are.
You know, when you put an outfit on tour and you kind of step into a different persona, because it really dictates if we're going to a work meeting, I'd be in like my kind of, not corporate because I've never done corporate, but I just feel more in that business mode. So I feel like it's a huge expression of how I'm feeling and what I want to be that day and what I'm projecting out into the world also.
It is. And so imagine if you woke up every day and did that, right? You got into your clothes, into some sort of clothes. Like I have my kids home with me 5 days of the week, and every one of those days I will still wake up and put together an outfit. But imagine if you feel like that and you just like, yeah, like today I'm boss or today I'm this, and you still had your kids with you. Imagine how you'd show up to them. It's different than just like rolling out of bed, being in your PJs to whatever time, then changing into activewear, maybe not even getting active in that day.
Exactly.
Like it's a different vibration that you're showing up for you and your kids, whether you've got them for the day or whether you're picking them up that night from daycare or whatever, you're still going to show up to them differently because of the way you feel about yourself. It's the same with putting on makeup. You know, like my mum has this thing where she'll never leave the house without putting on lipstick. And my grandma did it too. Never left the house without putting on lipstick. And mum's obviously got that from grandma, because grandma was just always like, lipstick makes me feel good. I would never be seen without my lipstick on.
No.
It's just, you know, again, yesterday I put on makeup. I was at home and I was like balls deep in washing and vomit, but it made me feel good. So therefore I showed up to my kids in a much calmer way all day. I couldn't have given two shits about the washing I was folding because I still felt good. And there was times where I literally caught a glimpse of myself in the mirror and I was like, oh yeah, there I am.
See, and that's something that's so huge. On Monday, I had done Pilates and all the rest of it, came home and I was like, I'm going to have a makeup-free day, right? And that's fine. But then I wanted to film some content and I wasn't feeling good. I just wasn't. I had a pimple come up because I was ovulating and I was just like, oh, and I started to do a lot of self-doubt talk. I was very negative on myself. You're looking old. They're just crap. And I never talk to myself like that. Like, I'm pretty good with negative self-talk and in terms of how I look, right? So then I put some makeup on and I just instantly was like, ah, oh, I'm me again. You know, I just felt better. And look, some people, like, this is going to change for everyone, but it's just like that made you feel good in that moment. You caught a glimpse at yourself in the mirror and you're like, oh, I feel good. It feels makes me feel good too. And I think it's just about knowing what your individual things are that make you feel good, you know?
I agree, because I am not the washing basket.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, I'm not the kids.
Yeah.
And so that was the thing. Like yesterday, no joke, I had four beds of washing that I did throughout the day. And then I had five loads of washing. I did nine loads of washing yesterday.
Yeah.
And we're in a city. Like, I don't have a fucking laundry just to shut the door on that and like be good. Like, I have to get rid of that. You know what I mean? So, and that was the thing, like, that isn't me. But when I got a glimpse of myself, it was like, oh, there's Shelley. And it just reminded me that, like, I'm not the washing basket. I'm not just a mum. Like, I am me. I can be calm. I can be this. You know, it's a big deal. It's bigger than what I think a lot of people realize.
100% agree.
Yeah. Activewear has been deemed as just fashion. And don't get me wrong, there is very fashionable activewear and I wear it. Like, as I said, I wear bike shorts and stuff, but I just think putting on an outfit, even if you would do that only on the weekend or whatever, just really take note of how you show up for yourself and those around you on that day and how you feel about yourself. Because if you can mimic that every single day of the week, why not?
Like you said, I feel like it's huge impacts on how you feel as a mother. And we're so used to being like, oh, I'll just wear that my husband's t-shirt and the biggest pair of granny undies I can find for my day. And it makes you in sloth mode. It does. It instantly puts you in sloth mode. It instantly makes you feel unmotivated, tired and lethargic because you're not showing up. I don't know. I just feel like there's so much to putting together an outfit. I really do. But I think that's because we're healthily obsessed with fashion. But I also notice it a lot with just different people that I talk with throughout the day. And it's even having that shower. You know, I think it's, we're not talking early postpartum here, but we're talking just making yourself feel good. That could be like going to get eyelash extensions for someone. I'm very low maintenance. I don't get my eyebrows done. I don't get my eyelashes done, whatever that is. I get my nails done. That's the only thing I really go and do because, again, that makes me feel good. And this is part of my outfit. My nails are my outfit and I express myself in nail art and all the rest of it. So that is one thing I do for myself. So yeah, whatever it is, find it, because we can guarantee you'll show up for yourself and you'll just feel better day to day.
We should actually, we always say this when we're talking in episodes, but we should actually get a stylist on the show to talk us through how to style yourself postpartum and after motherhood. And just on the shower thing, like that in itself, just waking up and having a shower, if you wake up 5 minutes before your kids, I personally don't shower in the morning because I don't wake up 5 minutes before my kids a lot of the time. But I shower at night time and I take a very long, luxurious shower. That's my time when Mac is home with the kids. So, you know, again, just finding something that you do like it. Yeah. But let's do that. Let's try to find a stylist. If anybody knows of a good stylist who can come on and talk to us about finding your groove postpartum again, let us know. Hit us up in our DMs.
Definitely. And we know that's a thing. Like, I lost all my sense of like style after Sunny, because I didn't know. I was like, oh, I'm a mother now. Like, what's, you know, can I still wear this? And I felt it's all come back now, but it took me a while to really understand where my fashion was and what how I wanted to style myself as well. So it'd be great to get someone on. So yeah, definitely let us know if there's anyone in particular. Otherwise, we'll have a look into that also.
And just on that really quickly, finding your sense of style, a lot of people do say, you know, get rid of old clothes and anything that doesn't fit you and doesn't serve you, get rid of. But the thing is, postpartum is, yeah, your body won't ever be the same, but it may return to a similar size. Like it might look different. But I would definitely say don't go doing like massive hauls and stuff on your outfit until you're feeling like yourself and feeling happy within yourself again as well. And, you know, we've got to do all that self-work as well to get to that place, particularly after having kids. But yeah, like just don't go making any drastic changes to your wardrobe in terms of throwing heaps of stuff out that doesn't fit you anymore until you're at that place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I 100% agree. And also on another little side note, wherever this notion of having a shower is like self-care, it's absolute bullshit. Having a shower in postpartum is a basic human need for hygiene and to just, you know what I mean? But it's like this glorified postpartum thing. Oh, it's really, having a shower once a day is like self-care. It's not self-care. It's a human
right.
Yeah, it's a hygiene.
Agreed. Like my skin routine where I do masks and everything, that's self-care.
That's self-care. Yeah.
But also in those early postpartum days, your baby sleeps nonstop. Then it gets a bit older and you can just put it in a bouncer outside the shower. You can put it in the shower with you. Like there are plenty of ways. There's nothing that actually infuriates me more than mothers who say, I can't shower, I've got kids. Like you can shower.
You can shower. It's like cleaning. Like, come on. Like find that time. It infuriates me too.
I get it. I get that. All right.
It was a good episode. Really diving into, you know, it kind of follows on from the stress response one that we did, but it's also really getting into morning routines, what's filling up your cup, how we can improve just little micro habits within our day to really benefit us and prioritize our peace. You're going to hear me bang on about this mantra all year because that is something that I am so passionate about, because as mothers, we don't, and it's time that we take back ownership and we do prioritize our peace. Yeah.
Yeah. I hear you, sister. All right. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. If you have enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review. That way we can continue to inspire and reach more mamas around the globe. If you would like to get in contact, request a guest or topic, then head to the No BS Approach to Motherhood Instagram page and send us a direct message. Otherwise, until next episode, stay sane, mama.